Hey guys, how's everybody doing this morning? Good? Come on, how's everybody doing this morning? It's Mother's Day, come on! Alright, so I'm going to be sharing my life story this morning, so I'll just start off at the beginning. I am adopted, I was from Idaho, my birth parents had me when they were 17-ish. I was adopted when I was 2 days old, so I don't remember them very much. Yeah, they flew out and got me, and then came back, and that was it. I'm still in contact with my birth mother and my birth grandparents. They send me stuff every year, and pictures, and all the stuff of my half-brothers, and stuff like that. Other than that, I don't really remember my childhood very much. My parents fought a lot, and that sounds really weird, because both of my parents are very happy people. But, well, they would fight a lot. My dad is very traditionally Hispanic, if anybody can understand that. Very controlling male figure in the family, and he's used to getting his way. His father was not very nice to them, and so he kind of took it out on us. My earliest memory that I have, actually my only memory because I blocked most of it out, was we were going on a trip to snowboarding up at Bear Valley, and we stopped at a hotel, and in the middle of the night, I woke up to my parents fighting and, like, shouting at each other, and I hid under the bed, and my brother was in the bathroom, and he had locked the door, and we were in there for a couple hours, and they were just yelling at each other, and it didn't really make sense what they were yelling about, but I knew it was bad, and other than that, I don't really remember anything. My dad is a great guy. Most of you know him and have talked to him. He's really funny. But when I was younger, he kind of alienated me as his son, because I think it was because I reminded him too much of my mother. And when he would get mad at my mother, he would just leave and take my brother with him, and they would just leave. And they wouldn't tell us where they were going. We never knew, and he would just leave me to take care of my mom. And this was when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old. So 5, 6, 7 years old, I basically had to take care of my mother. She would, most of the time, she'd just be sitting on the couch crying or walking around the house. And just like totally not talking and just really distraught. So I read a lot when I was a kid, which was another thing that was really hard because I'm dyslexic. Yeah, I got into a lot of fantasy books, and my mom didn't think it was very good for me because I wasn't in the real world, and I wasn't really accepted anyway because I'm a weird kid, and I'm kind of nerdy and just out there, and so I've never been very accepted in my school. Other than that, as I got a little bit older, I started getting a lot more depressed because of these feelings and everything that happened with my dad and stuff, and I started getting emoer and goth and wearing all black. I still do. I can't really help it. I just go into a store and I grab stuff, and then I get home and I'm like, oh, dang it, it's black. And every time it happens like that, I always buy something black. After that, I started getting into a lot of dark stuff that kind of helped with my girlfriend who was into that, all that kind of stuff, emo cutting and stuff like that. And I still have the scars. After that, I'd always been a Christian. I've gone to this church since I was a little kid, but it never struck home. I knew God was my Savior, and I accepted Him as that, and I knew He was a good God, and I saw Him around the world, but I didn't really care. I don't really know why, because now I'm walking with Him, and it's amazing, and happy, and I'm always happy. I don't know what I was thinking when I was a young kid. I was stupid. After that, I kind of got out of it and was trying to be a better person and stuff. I've been drumming my whole life, so that kind of helped. That kept me off the streets a lot. I was practicing all the time. I've been doing that for 10 years now. Also skateboarding. Did that for a while. That was pretty fun. I skated with all my friends. They're all Christian guys, so kind of got good influence from that. Other than that, pretty much nothing in my life. And since I was always doing stuff musically, I wasn't able to hang out with a lot of people in my school. And since I live in Palo Alto and it's a commuter school and most of the people live in Sunnyvale, I never actually got to hang out with a lot of them. And so I was kind of a loner at my school. I never got to hang out with people on the weekends, so I never got to really know anybody. So I was kind of in my own little shell, and I wasn't really able to get helped by anybody. And my dad wasn't home very much because he traveled to Japan and stuff. He's a business guy. And so I was just kind of left on my own. My mom, if any of you know, my mom is an amazing lady, and she saved my life. My mother is the most awesome person I know. She started a choir here. Most of you were in it, actually. A lot of you were in it. And we commuted from Canterbury to go and sing in this little choir. And I remember we went down to San Luis Obispo and stayed at a church and stuff. That was pretty fun. And George punched me in the face. Yes, I do remember that. but it's all in the past. Me and George are great friends. George has really helped me too. He's been an amazing friend for all of our lives together. He's been really encouraging and a really great Christian guy. And everybody else in this room too, Josh especially, back there, my buddy. When I started getting to high school, I got more deeply into the emo scene and hardcore and listening to a lot of depressing music. And I just kind of fell deeper and deeper into that hole. I felt more alone and more alone. And it was hard to get out of it. I don't know why. It was just weird. And I couldn't step out of it. And I wanted something. I knew that it was God that I needed. And I just couldn't get close to him for some reason or another. And school kind of had a part in it. I go to a private Christian school, college prep, so it's very busy. Also, when I was younger, I got introduced to pornography, and I was heavily into that when I was in 8th grade to 9th grade. 10th grade, not so much. And then as I started becoming more and more involved with Christ and his promises and stuff, I got saved again. And I have been totally free, and it's awesome, and I'm living a great life drumming. I'm teaching drum lessons. That's my job. I teach privately at my house and at school. I was the drum captain this year. That was a great experience. I got to lead the whole team and stuff, even though I got angry sometimes and yelled at them because they're a bunch of idiots. But I love them, and most of you know Xander. He's one of the bass guys on my line, and he's an amazing guy. He just messes around a lot, but that's just drumline. That's just how they are. Drumming has been a very big part of my life. As you can tell, I'm usually up here drumming, or I'm in my high school worship band. Some of you sing me at school and stuff. And that really, really has saved me. Having a skill in life, having a definite skill, is one of those things that keeps you away from everything. I got into smoking a little bit when I was skateboarding, almost got into drugs and stuff, but I'd heard all this, I'd see these guys who had been smoking, and it's just like, these guys are stupid, these guys are idiots, these guys are never going to do anything, and I didn't want to do that. And after drumming for so long, it's like, I want to make this my life, and if I do drugs and stuff, I'm not going to be able to do that, it's going to mess me up too much. So, never got into drugs. That was the one smart thing I did when I was younger, didn't get into drugs. I want to share this Bible verse really quick. I know iPhones, I always get dirty looks when I use this. Hold on. Right. Gotta load. Come on. All right. So this has been a really big Bible verse in my life. When I was younger, when being alone and stuff, you kind of turn everybody else into your enemies, and everybody else is kind of a jerk because they won't hang out with you and they won't even look at you and stuff like that. And that's the way I felt about these people. So this was kind of an important verse, not just because I hated people and stuff, but because it made me safe. It's Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Or wait, it's before it. 19, you wait. It's like the whole Bible verse. Okay, 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. And then the last two verses are very poetic. David is an amazing writer. Psalms is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. He has very prophetic words, and they're very true, and he switches a lot. So he's talking about hating his enemies and stuff like this, and he does a complete 180 switch on hating himself. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And this is kind of the story of my early life, is that I would hate these people that didn't accept me and weren't friendly to me and thought I was weird and stuff because I was a loner and I wrote poetry and I read books and for some odd reason. And I started to hate these people. And as I got closer and closer to God, I wondered why I hated these people. And I didn't want to hate these people. And so I started turning a little more inwards and asking God why. And it was my own imperfections. I felt imperfect. I felt like I wasn't good enough for them. But then you look at it and it's like, why was I angry? It's because there's something inside of me. And I turned that back on them and I said, well, if they're being mean to me, then there must be something wrong in their life. And I felt sorry for these people instead of angry at them. And it's very true. If anybody's mean to you and bullying you and stuff, it's not because you're small or insignificant or anything. There's anything wrong with you. It's their problem. And that's what I realized, is these people were mean to me because they felt imperfect. And it was mostly the popular kids. And the popular kids, I don't know why we call them the popular kids, because nobody likes them. But anyway, it's very true. The popular kids are always the ones that are like, wow, you're stupid. I don't like you. Why are you popular? But apparently they're popular because they're cool and they have the right clothes and right attitudes and stuff. I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but after sophomore year, kind of got out of everything, kind of crawled my way out of the black, dark pit that I was in of my life. And I didn't really show it that I was in these pits, but it was very apparent in my life if you were very close to me, but I wasn't very close to anybody because I just felt like a loner, and so I didn't really hang out with anybody. But after that sophomore year, I started getting a little bit more into the Bible, reading a little bit, and kind of looking into like what was there and what was the appeal of it. Because it felt really fake to me. Being in church a long time, that's kind of that persona you get. It's like, it's from childhood, so it's like one of those things, you know, like watching Sesame Street. It's old. You don't watch that anymore. You're not a little kid. And so as I started getting into it and reading a little bit more and looking into all the stories and stuff and the hidden meanings behind it, it got a lot more personal to me, and I could relate to it. Junior year, I went to this camp called the Scott Reese Superior Leadership Camp up in Oregon, and I had gone to the drum camp, which was right after that, and we go up there for 2 weeks and stay for the leadership camp and then the drum camp for a band camp. And I learned how to lead people, and it was an amazing experience. I got to hang out with everybody who was the dweebiest person in school just like me. They didn't play sports. They did all band, and they got good grades. And so I got to hang out with these people that were totally insane people that nobody else would hang out with, but they were just like me. And that was, it was just an eye-opener that there were people out there like me that didn't like playing sports. They liked sports, but they didn't, it wasn't their thing. And they played music, and they experienced God in a different way. And they experienced God through music, which is the closest thing that you can get to God, I feel. And it was an eye-opener, and it made me, and I got myself out there. I stopped being a loner. I made a lot of good friends. I still talk to these guys. They're amazing people. They're pure guys. And then drum camp, which is a lot different. All these guys are pretty cool. Some of them play sports, so some of them don't. Some of them are really fat, which is kind of funny. I always think that's hilarious. Whenever you see a drummer in high school, a lot of them are chubby guys, especially drum set players. I think it's hilarious. But they're really disgusting and boyish, and it's a whole week with just guys, and it was a weird experience after going to band camp with all these geeks. Junior year, after that, as I came back to school, I was a leader in the band, and I had all these little kids looking up to me, which was a scary thing. I've always wanted to be like a big brother figure because I was a little brother, and I always got picked on. And whenever I would go over to one of my friends' houses who had a little brother, I would always try to include the younger brother because I knew how he felt. I knew that he was left out. My brother did that a lot. When his friends came over, I'd try to hang out with them. He'd be like, go away, you're stupid. And so I got to hang out with these little kids, which kind of scared me because I was like, I'm not a good influence. I've tried to commit suicide, and I've been cutting, and I listen to bad music and stuff. Why am I leading these guys? But apparently my mom, who is the band director at our school, thought I could do it. So I started hanging out with these guys, and they thought I was really cool, which was really weird because I didn't think I was that cool. And I started talking to these guys and leading them in music and drums and pointing them towards that and hoping that they would stay in the program. And it was a really good experience being able to talk to these guys and kind of mentor them a little bit and share my experiences. And if anybody's ever done that, you know it's a great feeling to be able to help somebody in their life. And that's kind of been my last 2 years of life is I'm doing school, I'm doing work and stuff like that, but I really like talking to people about their feelings and about what they're going through in their life, and that's what I've been trying to do instead of looking inwards and being like, oh, I'm not very cool. It's like, can I help people? Can I make people feel better? Can I make them feel better about themselves and try to figure out their problems in life? And a lot of these kids, I've seen them grow, and it's great and amazing, and that's part of my teaching part of my life. I teach drum lessons, and it's great to see your students progress and play in shows and stuff like that and see how good they get. Kind of feel proud. Like, oh, I did that. So cool. Senior year, I got into the worship band. I got asked to play drums, which was a really great honor. I was the first one they came to, which was amazing. It was really cool. I got to hang out with a bunch of my friends who are Christians, and I didn't really get to hang out with them a lot because they hung out with the jocks who didn't like me, or they hung out with the people who were just really annoying. And so I got to hang out with really good Christian people, and it really made me grow in my faith. And Josh, was it junior year you moved here? Yeah, junior year, Josh moved up here to Palo Alto. He had lived over in Campbell area. So we were really far away, and we've been going to school together for like 13 years, and we've known each other, we've grown up together, and he moved over, and it was a great experience to have somebody there who knew what I was going through and had gone to the same schools with me and stuff and been able to relate to what I was going through and stuff, and it was a really great learning experience and a great help in my life to have a friend around that I could depend on and go talk to, and it was just great and awesome. And God has really blessed me in that. He's been opening a lot of doors for me lately that are just amazing. And I don't even know why he would do that. I struggle with girl problems, let's say that. I like being accepted by girls, and I kind of push it sometimes. And it's not like I need to have like a physical aspect, but I've had a few girlfriends, some not so good experiences, but God understands that. And just recently, I have been going out with this amazing girl named Nicole, and she's an amazing Christian. We met at Honor Band, which was really funny. It's like Geek Central. It's ACSI Honor Band, which is Christian Society of something. It's musicians, and it's like an honor society that they take their best musicians from all the Christian schools in the North California area, and we all go to Sacramento, and we play a concert, and it's all the dweebiest people, and it's really funny, because I was in the percussion section, and she was in the front row in the piccolo section, And I thought she was the cutest girl in the whole room, and I could not stop looking at her. And she has like burgundy hair, and she's got an amazing smile and bright eyes and stuff. And I couldn't talk to her. I was like, oh, I want to go talk to her. And the guys in the percussion section who I had been at Honor Band with for 2 years were her friends. And I was like, dude, oh, I should go ask them if they can introduce me to her. But I was way too immature for it. I just couldn't do it. And I was like, I hope she comes and talks to me. I hope she comes and talks to me. And what I didn't realize is she was looking at me also at the same time. And it was really funny because we were going to the Spaghetti Factory after our right before our performance to go eat dinner, and we had reservations. And so I walked in, and I walked past my friends, and they had some Sour Patch Kids. I was like, dude, can I have a Sour Patch? And so they threw me one, and Nicole said, no! And she was just sitting there, and I was like, oh, okay. So I threw the Sour Patch Kids and walked off. That was one word that we said to each other, one word each. After that, she found me on MySpace and told me that she was trying to find all the other people from ACSI. She only found me. we started talking, and she's an amazing Christian. She really encourages me to be a better Christian man, and she just lives life, and she's not fake. And we started talking, and then finally I got to go down and actually hang out with her. She lives in Prunedale, which is like an hour and a half away. And we started going out, and it's been awesome ever since. And I'm really growing in my faith and growing closer to God and stuff. And for anybody who thinks that relationships are distracting from God, it can be. But if you really focus on God first and relationship second, if both of you have the same mindset, you grow in both areas. You grow in your faith. And you grow in your relationship with God, and it's just amazing and awesome and just life-changing. Other than that, I'm planning on going to college next year, West Valley, taking some classes, and then hopefully in 2 years, if I can get all my classes done and my 60 units out of the way, I'm going to go down to LA and get my bachelor's degree in percussion and start living a musician's life. Hopefully I won't starve to death. But, yeah, because we don't get paid that much. But that's where God's leading me, and I might even start doing worship, writing songs, something like that, in the ministry, or just going around and ministering through my music and in the metal scene, because I love metal music, and that's where God needs the most appearance. So, yeah, that's my life story. Any questions? What's up? Favorite color? Black. It's a shade. Any other questions?
What's up? What age is
my favorite? I teach 3 kids right now, 2 girls and a boy. One of them is 11. The other one, they're all about the same age, 11, 12-ish. And I go up, I've taught 45-year-olds before, and younger, pretty much. Yeah. And if you want to get in touch with me, go ahead. I would love to teach you. I teach in my home. I got 2 drum sets and stuff. It's really cool. We actually just made a music studio, so I can play as long as I want, whenever I want. It's really cool. Anything else? Huh? Oh, so how can you reach kids 9th, 8th grade? Just talking to them is the biggest thing. And don't approach them as a teacher or a parent. Approach them as a friend. Because everybody thinks that, oh, if we send our kid to counseling, he'll get fixed and stuff like that. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Because as soon as you put an authority figure who apparently has it all together, then they just shut off. And the biggest thing for me was they'd bring speakers to our school, and these guys, they wouldn't be the guys who were like, oh, I've done all this statistics on sex and pornography in the U.S., and this is what's wrong with it, and blah, blah, blah. It was the guys that came, and they were like, yep, I've been a porn addict for my whole life, and this is what's wrong with it. And these guys are true to their word, and they're not fake, and they genuinely want to help you. And if you're not going around helping everybody, then that makes it a lot more real. One of the key things is to focus on one person at a time so that you're not spread out over them. It's really good to focus on one person because then they feel special and they feel liked and they feel loved. So, yeah, that would be it. Just being a friend and not an authority figure and focusing on one person and keeping up with that person. Because if you start it and you're getting some progress and then you just kind of leave them, then they kind of go, and then they fall back into the hole. And that was the one thing, is teachers would try to help me and stuff, and then they would just kind of, I'd fall off the map. And I'd just go right back into that hole where I'm not wanted, nobody likes me, and stuff like that. So, yeah. Any other questions? Don't be shy, I won't bite you. I'm a pretty nice guy, and I'm open to any questions. Favorite band? Oh, that's one thing I forgot to say. I will answer that in a minute. I collect CDs. I have like over 150, 60 CDs, and I change bands like every week. I listen from everything from jazz to metal. I listen to a little bit of rap, and but not country. And I will not say it's country music because it's not music. My favorite band right now is, I have a couple, O Sleeper. They're a Christian band. The Word Alive, they're also a Christian band. And August Burns Red, they're also a Christian band. All hardcore bands. And they're living the life and being Christians, and it's amazing watching them. Yeah, they're really good bands. Anything else? So. Yeah, I actually am. I like school. I like going to school. I like learning. I just don't like learning subjects. I don't like chemistry, which is first period on Monday. Anything else? No. Yeah.
What was like the biggest turning point in your life?
Oh, the biggest turning point in my life. Not really. It's all different for every person. A lot of people have like a certain point where they just turn around. I think it was because God had been present in my life, and I could see Him present in my whole life as I looked at it. It wasn't as like life changing, like, oh, He's here and blah blah blah. It was more of like it's a progress that I have to go through, and I have to keep realizing it and keep looking around. I love looking at nature, and every time I look at nature, it's just amazing. Watching, especially hummingbirds. They are awesome. Hummingbirds are so cool. How do you make a hummingbird? They're just amazing. It's just fascinating how amazing nature is. But it's a progressive thing, looking at everything and finding the God things in my life and figuring out why bad things are happening and stuff. That's just pretty much it.